That last song actually has a very special place in Maura and my heart, because when we went to the Ukraine on a church building project a few years ago, that was a hymn we sang. Well, we sang it in English and our host sang it in Ukrainian, and it was fantastic. Just like it's going to be in heaven, I think. Anyway, our reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning to read at the 19th verse, and you can find it on page 971 of the Church Bible. So that's Matthew 6, starting at the 19th verse on page 971. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Told it's me now, so right. Let's start with a prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. And we pray that through your Spirit we can learn more about you and how we should live for you. Amen. Right. Treasures in heaven. What's treasure? I thought it's a good place to start. The image that might come to mind is sort of, you know, your pirates. Pirate in his treasure chest. His Captain Jack with his stash of precious items hidden away because other people are trying to get it from him. Or perhaps the treasure of the kind of thing discovered in Tutankhamun's tomb. Didn't do him a lot of good, but anyway. Very much in the news recently with the exhibition in London. Or perhaps it's finding buried treasure. There's even a treasure hunting magazine. Oh, things you find on the web. Or is it something that people's obsession? The famous one is Imelda Marcos and her over 3,400 pairs of shoes, with corridors in their palace just lined with racks of shoes. Once you'd gone, they had so many, they opened a shoe museum. What else do you do with 3,400 pairs of shoes? Was treasure something we all have? It's what we truly value. We all have something that's important to us, that's valuable, you know, wedding rings. Family heirloom, like an old watch. I've got my dad's 21st birthday watch. Yeah, a friend of mine's got a collection of Arsenal home programmes going back to when he was 16. You know, takes all sorts. Anyway, perhaps it's something different. Without any great intrinsic value, but important to us. That's our treasure. Photographs, pictures, diaries, books. Well, We're looking at Matthew's gospel today, and it's saying something completely different about what true treasure is. Matthew's put a set of Jesus' teachings together. I don't know whether they were all at the same time. If it was, wow, you know, there was so much to take in. But anyway, we have, as we have it, chapters 5, 6 and 7. All about what it's like to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, part of the kingdom of God. Chapter 5 starts with a Sermon on the Mount, followed by a set of teachings which include the passage Martin talked about last week, Salt and Light. If you missed it, hopefully it'll be on the church website soon. And this is continued in chapter 6 about giving and about prayer, where we have the Lord's Prayer. A bit about fasting, and then the passage we're looking at today, Treasure in Heaven. And he continues telling us not to worry about tomorrow and judging others. And lots more teachings, which end up with the familiar saying. Obviously, Jesus thought this was all very important. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus thought this was important. So the passage we have today, Jesus is asking us about treasure. Actually, what he's probably asking us about, what's our ambition? To have a treasure store like Captain Jack's? Or be Bishop Sitchington's answer to Imelda Marcos? Obviously no, but what's our treasure? To see our worldly wealth as our security? What do we value? Well, Jesus is very definite. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. It's interesting, this is a direct challenge to the Pharisees of the day, who thought that material wealth was considered a reward from God for keeping the law. Jesus had used this theme before in parables, looking at the same thing about what we store up. The parable of the rich fool, recorded in Luke's gospel. And we had that one in Quality Time. I don't know why it's one that sticks in my mind, but anyway. It's about a farmer who had a very good harvest. Reading from Luke's gospel, he then said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and then I'll store up my surplus grain. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?" Don't know why that just reminds me of Tutankhamun's tomb, but anyway. The wrong attitude, the wrong ambition. Jesus asked his followers to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Why? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is asking us where our devotion lies. In worldly wealth, in things, in stuff, or in God and the kingdom of heaven. Jesus goes on, which at first sight, without knowing the subtleties of the language, The next part looks like Jesus is going off on another subject. Verse 22 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is dark, how great is that darkness?" I initially understood that sort of Jesus was going off on a sort of a tangent, was changing the subject. But reading about the passage, there are things that the original audience would know that we miss. Well, I did anyway. The King James Version has a more direct translation of the original. "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." The phrase, "thine eye be single," seems a strange thing to say. He's not saying it's better to have one eye. The word single or good in this context and how he's used it and how it's translated, it has a financial meaning. In this context, single means generous, open-hearted, warm. You only really know that if you were there, if you like. Compared to, "but if your eyes are bad, your whole body is full of darkness," where bad, continuing the financial interpretation, means miserly and ungenerous and mean, stingy. So it's, you could elaborate it as, if you see things in a generous way, in a warm, open-hearted way, then your body is full of light. If you look at things being mean and ungenerous and miserly, then your body is full of darkness. Jesus was continuing the same theme. He also goes on, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The older King James Version uses the word mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's quite a famous saying. And people would have known what all that was about, because mammon, it was the Carthaginian god of wealth. So you couldn't serve God and wealth. And it goes directly back to the first commandment. "You shall have no other gods before me," recorded in Exodus 20. Jesus was pointing out that money can be a god. An old saying was that money is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you get. Seems that the richest people have more money than they can ever possibly spend, but they want to make more because it's never enough, when their money becomes their god. Yeah, we all need money to live in this society. It'd be very difficult not to. Provision for us and our family is good stewardship. God has entrusted us with this, and it's our duty to use it wisely, what he's lent us. But our focus in life hasn't got to be the money. It's got to be God. To put in it very bluntly, putting God, money first is a sin. Falling short of God's plan for us. It's a lack of faith, lack of trust in God. We've heard what's not treasure from Jesus. But Jesus is talking about the treasure in heaven. How do we put treasure in heaven? had to learn something last week that had a direct impact on this passage. And me doing this talk, it was quite funny really. God has a sense of humour. As you remember, last week Storm Kyra came through on Sunday morning. And as we were getting ready for church, one of the ridge tiles went past the bedroom window. I went outside to have a look and we'd lost three and some of the guttering. There's nothing I could do about it at that point, so I came to church. So I got here and the state of the roof was on my mind. What would happen? Would there be any damage? But I've already been reading this passage before. And I remember the passage I was speaking about. I had to ask myself, what was more important? Me worrying needlessly about the roof or me being focused on the service? That's why I came to church. It'd be rather hypocritical knowing that the subject of this week's talk and what I'd read, if I'd spent the service worrying about the roof rather than being involved in the service, in the worship and learning. So, yeah, I had to make the decision. It's all the effort to put that to the back of my mind, to focus on the worship. And David's leading in the songs made that possible. Thank you. Martin's talk about salt and light was very good. Thanks to him. And the prayers Jane prepared helped me pray. So thank you, Jane. For me, that was a lesson of I had to consciously put God first. Well, the roof was just as we left it and it's going to be repaired, so what's the worry? You know, big deal. After the passage we're looking at today, Jesus continues his teaching to talk about worry. God knows what we need. Not necessarily what we might desire, but what we need. So Jesus' instructions, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you. So what's heavenly treasure? If you look at the other parts of Jesus' teaching in this gospel, it's all there. It all hangs together. Chapter 5, 13 to 16, being salt and light in the world. Chapter 6, it's all about giving, going on about praying, fasting, not a popular one today, but it's there. In the passage today, our attitude and ambition with regard to money, going on to trusting in God and not worrying. In chapter 7, our attitudes to others. Quite a list. But in all this, we're not alone. The Holy Spirit came as our guide and our helper. We need to read, we need to listen. Storing up treasures in heaven. I don't think Jesus is describing some room in heaven where we each individually have a stash of heavenly treasure. We say a prayer, chink chink, another bit goes in. We help our neighbour, chink chink, a bit more is added to the pile. Don't think it's that. This is all about where our focus is. What do we love? Stuff or God? Because that is how we live our life. Size of our store of heavenly treasure doesn't affect how God loves us. I'm sure he doesn't record it. God couldn't love us more. He sent Jesus to save us. Jesus is teaching us that material objects and wealth is not the be-all and end-all of this life. Real satisfaction and security is being part of God's heavenly kingdom. Our treasure, our wealth, is that God loves us and nothing can separate us from that love. More stuff is not the way to satisfaction and achievement. Loving God, loving our neighbour and living the gospel, that's the way. To finish, it's always good to let Jesus have the last word. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Amen.